Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Once you think you know, you are no longer a student. At 50, I don't know shit. I mean, I know some things, because I have a story like everyone else. I've experienced love and pain and hardship and art and business and movement, but I do not know them. I've only experienced them and choose to stay curious rather than to know. I've learned that when you think you know, you create a wall in expectations. You don't have to know how things are going to be because everything always plays out. You don't have to know who you are because you are dynamic and always changing. Knowing yourself is not a light switch. It's a lifelong journey. And you don't have to know the future because it's impossible to. All knowing is perception. And perception is not truth. So instead of trying to know, live in wonder, discovery, curiosity. Observe the unfolding about yourself, others, the world, how you feel, what's going on inside. Your energy, be a student to everything. That small shift will open your world, release the tension in your shoulders, allow you breath, maybe for the first time in your life, and belief in miracles. Curiosity over certainty, always. So you know what I love about Facebook, it's actually my favorite thing, is the memories, is how you get served up things that you have written years ago. And this popped up on my feed, and it just kind of hit me. I changed the at 50, I don't know shit. It was originally, I think, at 45, because this was written about 4 years ago. But I wanted to share this with you because it's not only a reminder, but I think it's a great mindset. Now, of course, we want to know things like our worth. Of course, we want to know, because many of us have lived lives where we didn't ask ourselves what we wanted, put other people in front of us, you know, had to take care of people. And so there is a knowing that is required, you know, like right now, the kind of love you want, whether you're in a relationship or not, how you want to feel, what kind of dent you want to make in the universe, what do you want your life to look like? There are things. What do you want for lunch? You know, there are things. How do you want to be touched? There are things that you, of course, know. And I think those are great things. But I'm talking about the mindset of thinking that you know. And what I mean by that is thinking that you know, or this desire to know. And this is something that I struggle with, a desire to want to know how things play out, you know, a desire to want to know what the future holds for you, the desire to want to know who you're going to meet, the desire to want to know how much money you're going to make, you know, if you're going to get what you've always dreamed of, you know, all those kind of things. And I think those kind of knowings constrict us instead of expanding us. I think those kind of knowings are actually going to create expectations, and they turn into cliffs that we fall off of, because as life unfolds, the truth is a lot of things that you want may not come to you. Hey, wanted to share with you something I'm super excited about. If you go to theangrytherapist.com/premium, you not only get commercial-free episodes, but also something I'm introducing called series, rotating wellness topics, but not only lessons, but what do we do with this information? How do we thread this into our life so we could change our life? Go to theangrytherapist.com/premium. A lot of things that you want, you may actually get, but they don't look like what you imagined. And you know that you got them because it feels right, you know? And so the mindset of, or more than the mindset, the obsession of knowing is what I'm talking about. And I think that's what's unhealthy. I think a lot of us, because we don't know if we will be alone forever, or we don't know when we're going to meet our person, or we don't know, you know, when we're going to be quote unquote successful, or, you know, all these big questions, we can fall into this murky uncertainty. And when you feel uncertain, it's really hard to be curious, you know, because uncertainty is lined with fear, and uncertainty is lined with thinking the sky is falling in panic. I lived in uncertainty for half of my life, and I was obsessed with wanting to know. My mom used to go to a Korean fortune teller every year. She stopped doing it because a lot of the, I think it just got old, and I think a lot of shit wasn't true. But I grew up in the 80s where she would come home after New Year's and, you know, tell me my fortune. And I used to be so excited about it because then I would know. I would have answers. And I remember she would always come home and say, you're not going to experience any kind of success until after you're 40. And, you know, as a 10-year-old, 40's like done, right? 40's like end of your life. And I remember how disappointed I was. And, you know, then I would like tell her she's wasting her money and all that shit's stupid. But my point in sharing that story is putting a lot of weight on that kind of stuff where you need answers. And so half of my life, up until I would say maybe 40, I was obsessed with wanting to know what was in store for me and how things were going to turn out. And the anxiety of not knowing creates panic. And so I think that contributed to me being in a chasing state, whether I'm chasing answers from a fortune teller or chasing, you know, people down for the deal or the approval, the validation, whatever, this kind of state of chasing that rocks you off center, that ungrounds you, you know, all of that kept me in a lower frequency. After about 42, 43, just the practice of letting go, the practice of not knowing, the practice of being okay with not knowing, that calmed my nervous system. Sitting in stillness, allowing your shoulders to relax, trusting your story, which is huge for me, you know, trusting our story and the unfolding, knowing that you've been in dark places, you've come out of tunnels, you've healed from breakups, you know, just that kind of certainty keeps you from not wanting to have all the answers. And then what happens is you start to live on a higher frequency because when you're not obsessed with certainty, you can now get curious, and curious opens you up. Curiosity expands you instead of constricting you. Curiosity makes you present. Curiosity helps you wonder. I have a tattoo on my left hand, arm, not my hand, and it says live in wonder. Oh, no, it says die without wonder. And I forget what my tattoos say or me. I use them as bookmarks in my life. And it says die without wonder. And that was a reminder for me to live in curiosity and always have a sense of wonder, you know, like we did when we were kids. It's one of the things that creates distance for me. And it's one of the things that allows breath, like I mentioned here. And so I just want to remind you today, whatever you're going through, whatever you are trying to hold with two hands, if you are living a life where you are waiting by the phone, if you are getting obsessed with knowing how things are going to turn out, and you know, you find yourself going to fortune tellers and mediums and not that those things are bad things, but like instead of living your life, you're seeking answers so you can make decisions based on something that is external, if you are doing a lot of that, I encourage you to ask yourself what it looks like to let go of wanting to know so bad, you know? And the dangling carrot, what's on the other side of that, as you practice that, because it is a practice, is that your frequency will change, that you will live higher. Your vibration, your whatever you want to call it, you will start to live a grounded, power-filled, less approval-seeking life. You will start to live a life that is inside out instead of outside in. And that's how you take control of your life, you know? That's how you start to build a solid foundation. So I don't know what that looks like for you. I know for me, it started with a decision and then a lot of practice, And you know, there's activities you can do. I find stillness today. I find my ability to let go in saunas and ice plunges and on motorcycles and intense workouts. I tend to find stillness in active things. That may not be the case for you, but wherever you find the stillness to release, to let go, and to be grounded, and not be obsessed with the knowing. The other thing we need to do is smash the clock. What I mean by that is the internal clock that we have of thinking that we have to be a certain person or have something at a certain age, and because we haven't hit that marker, whether that is a corner office or children or a picket fence, it doesn't matter what that thing is. We all have ideas of when things should happen. And if that's not where we're at, then we internalize, we get depressed, we feel that, you know, we feel like the kid that got held back. And so all of those things can depress us or keep us stuck in that, in our quicksand and cognitive distortions. So smashing that clock, you know. I had a baby at 47. I think I changed careers at 36. I think I sold my first book in my early 40s. Definitely a late bloomer. And if I had listened to that society's ticking clock, I would have felt a lot of hopelessness, you know, as I was building. So just a reminder to smash that clock and stay curious. Thank you for listening. Be well.